Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Assalamu alaikum, this is IRB English Radio and you're on to Youth Station. My name is Muhammad.
Oh, and my name is Muzaffar. Choo choo ka choo, it's the Youth Station for you. You're wishing you had have said it now, aren't you?
Okay, so today we have something very beautiful to talk about, and that is a jihad of tabyeen or jihad of clarification.
Any soldier, before he goes into the battlefield, needs to have a basic understanding of how to use the weaponry at his disposal.
Exactly.
Right? My point here is everybody already has that initial knowledge to go into the battlefield, right? And it's actually in the battlefield itself that soldiers pick up the most experience and learn the most. Shahid Qasim Soleimani did not become Shahid Qasim Soleimani by sitting outside of the battlefield and being an objective observer. No, our leader himself, Imam Khamenei, he was one of those who we see in military uniform, and that's one of our reasons for why we have so much pride and we love him so much, you know, because he was in the uniform, he was in the battlefield, he was amongst the people, he fought. And that's how he's now being able to identify that one of the biggest objectives and emergencies that we have in today's time is jihad al-tabiin, the jihad of clarification. If he wasn't in the battlefield, he wouldn't understand that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most important issue right now that we, like the urgent issue that we mentioned, that we must use this approach of jihad al-tabiin against?
That's too much of a big question, man. We are literally, I'm sure you sensed it. We are being attacked from every angle. Every single angle. I can't think of an angle where we are safe. God forbid that because of these words and these sentiments, you know, God shows us, no, actually, you weren't being attacked from here either. Now you're being attacked because every time you say, nowadays, every time you say, oh, you know, it can't get any worse, it gets worse. People are struggling to hold on to even their most basic, most obvious ideologies. Like, what gender am I?
Oh, my God.
You know, am I even human? Back in the day when I was younger, I remember youths used to have confusions about whether they exist, you know, and so they'd have these philosophical questions. Mm. Now it's like, do I identify as a male, female, or both? What do I identify as today? This is how, and the Quran says, وَلَيْسَتْ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. It's just a tiny little kind of phrase that Allah has thrown out there. It says, you know, the male is not like the female.
Now, clear cut, very clear.
Now, well, come on. If we had read this like 100 years back, we'd be like, Allah is just speaking, you know, a bit, it's just poetic, but it doesn't really have any meaning and it's not going to help us. Now, in today's world, we understand that every phrase of the Quran,
it's the miracle of the Quran,
it is not only relevant, but it increases in relevance. In today's time, this statement itself, the male is not like the female, can get you arrested, can make you lose your job, can make you lose your educational certificates. Even if you're top psychologist, even if you're a professor in the best of universities, you will lose that certification because you've said such a statement.
For those living outside of Iran, and I think one of the most important points of Jihad al-Tabiin, the struggle of clarification is this. You find, especially recently with the riots that we had, there wasn't a single country that didn't relay the news, negative news about Iran. And I've had instances where some of my classmates, or some
including
of my
Iran.
Close friends, they were called by their parents and their family, like, come back soon, because any time now, they're going to eat you. It's just a matter of time. So it was funny for us because we're in the field, we're looking at this, we know what's going on, and we know where it's going on, right? And we know who are doing this, because we've seen it in our own eyes. Right, but then those outside who haven't seen it just, you know, blindly accept the media how it's you know, portraying about Iran. I think for us, jihad al-tabyeen in these situations is actually closing our eyes to the media that's portraying, you know, falsehood, and trying to open up ways of sending news to people who are kind of victims of this media.
I wouldn't say it's closing our eyes to the media, because you have to keep your eyes open.
Yeah, well, when I mean close our eyes, I mean don't believe them, of course. Right.
Yeah.
And make sure that those who are believing them, you bring up enough. Like, for example, what they do, one of the rules in media is repeat the falsehood as much as you can until they believe it's the truth. Right. One of the arts of media is just repeating it. So one of the things that we have to consider as well is repeating. For example, I remember one of my family members, he was doing something that I won't mention here, but then my father's like, he's your age, why don't you tell him? Right? I was like, I told him. He's like, tell him back again. Tell him back again. 10 times, 20 times. If you say these things enough, a stone will become water. A stone will just disintegrate. Yep. It's very important repeating it. What about hijab? Like, in our society, unfortunately now, some people in the society in Iran, they've made this a trend to be as illegal as they can by removing their hijab, right? I think just repeating this to them, my sister, hijab is not a country thing. It's a Muslim thing. It's an Islamic thing. It's not for anybody else. It's for yourself. Repeating this really does the clarification itself.
There's a lot that needs to be done. And I think that everybody just needs to find their specific niche where they will be able to be most effective and act on that field. You know, if somebody's into sexual ethics, for example, if somebody's into hijab, for example, if somebody's into the economic situation, if somebody's into the system of Wilayat al-Faqih and other political systems, whatever it is, you know, whatever your field is, or the scientific advancements that they're making nowadays, all sorts of fields that do exist, and they're attacking us through those fields, they're attacking Islam through those fields, find a way to fight back in that specific field. And that's what we don't see happening.
With all the capability that you have, you must stand for that. And like you said, find your own niche and find out your own responsibility in that niche. Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
All right, we're back with the Youth Station. We're discussing about the struggle of clarification, Jihad of Tabyin, as mentioned by the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, or the leader of Ummah entirely. How do we know that we're doing Jihad of Tabyin correctly? Many a times what happens, like for example, in the ayah of Surah Kahf, it says, الَّذِينَ ضَلُّوا سَعْيَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسَنُونَ صُنْعًا. Some people, they struggle their entire life thinking and kind of calculating that they're doing the best and they're doing the good, right? How do we know that we don't fall into this trap? How do we know that while doing Jihad al-Tabyin, we're not destroying the deen?
It's a really, really scary verse that you just recited there. Imagine you've spent your entire life, all of those energies that you've put into it, but it's actually been in the entirely wrong direction. It's like you're trying to get out of
a prison.
The
benefit of the enemy, essentially. It's to the benefit of the enemy.
It is, totally. So imagine you're in a prison and you've been digging and digging and digging at a secret tunnel. And then after 30 years, you find out that you've been digging in the wrong direction.
Exactly. And you dig into some other cell.
You dig into somebody else's cell. And then he cannibalizes you. How do we avoid that? I'd say the first thing is niyyah, your intention, right? If a person's intention is on the right track, even if he's doing the wrong thing,
God turns that track.
Subhanallah, right? Yeah. Allah will take that a'mal of his. Let's take an extreme example here. Christian, for example, they're monks. They spend their entire lives in celibacy, eating in a very restricted manner.
Seclusion,
away from everything. If a person is doing that because they want to show off and I am holier than you, the niyyah is completely wrong here. But if there's somebody who does that really with a good intention, a pure intention,
sincerely,
I want to serve
God,
right? Are you telling me that guy is going to go to hell? Of course not.
No, definitely.
Right? So coming back to us as Muslims, you need to make sure that you're not doing it for money. You're not doing it for fame. You're not doing it because you're angry and you hate other people unduly, not for the sake of the religion, but because of your own selfish reasons. Or stubbornness. Yeah, I mean, that happens so much when you see these debates going on. You're like, okay, this is just getting a bit...
Just because I've said this before, I have to stand
present
it all the time.
Yeah, I have to stand
with
it, right? Yeah. All of these things, once you really go back to the books, you analyze it, and you have to be... You can only be the judge of that. You have to understand that yourself. Once a person does that, then they know, okay, eliminate. Cross everything off your list. I'm not doing it for this. I'm not doing it for that. What is left? Yeah. If the only thing that's left on your page is God, then alhamdulillah, your niyyah is fine. Okay, but that's just niyyah. You can have the right niyyah and actually do damage to the cause.
Exactly. And right? I think one of the ways...
By the way, you're secure. For your worldly life and your hereafter, you are secure. But you might actually be doing damage to the cause.
Yeah, like those many Daeshi soldiers who went and joined Daesh, thinking their niyyah was probably or maybe, you know, clean and they were sincere, but then they were doing the wrong thing, right?
Yeah, I mean...
But I think one thing when it comes to jihad...
I just want to add there because, I don't know, I have a little bit of an issue with those kinds of examples because you hear them a lot, especially in our environments, right?
I was speaking hypothetically, but I'm sure...
Hypothetically,
I'm sure, hypothetically, a person but joining a group that is...
You actually look into those groups, they don't have that purity of intention. Yeah. They are the most hideous personalities that exist. They really are self-exultant, incredibly arrogant. And many of them could not even recite the Quran properly. Yeah. They had no interest in actually contemplating about the religion. They literally had been addicted to games like Call of Duty. And
all
they wanted
was a gun in their hand.
They wanted a gun in their hand. Yeah. They wanted to go. And the British or American militaries didn't accept them for whatever reason, or this seemed more exciting. And they went, that's not... They would have a list full of things for which they were doing it. And, you know, God would probably be very, very right at the end of their list.
When it comes to knowing exactly on which side you are, I think one of the best way of the criterias of, you know, kind of getting this right is the analogy that one of the shuhada of the Iran-Iraq war mentioned. Said that whenever, for example, consider you're in a night, in darkness of the night, which direction to aim at. Look at where the enemy is shooting. Look at where the enemy is bombarding. You'll know that that's your side.
See, that's a really good example, by the way. But that's the precisely the kind of thing which would prevent people from... Because, for example, in the West, we know that the enemies are pushing emphatically on LGBT.
Exactly.
And that's precisely where we don't want to go.
Oh, yeah, that is true as well.
Right?
If you zoom out a bit, you know that the enemy is trying to distract.
Yeah.
Distraction... Yeah. is what you should avoid.
Yeah.
Right? This is how I see it. So even though LGBT is what they're trying to promote, or feminism is what they're trying to promote, and they want you to be distracted into this, go into this and keep discussing so that you forget about the more important matters, just know that they're trying to distract. They're attacking distraction.
Yeah. So I think the first thing, niyyah. Second thing, look at where the enemy is attacking. I think that's a very good point. Third thing, focus on what you know. Like the wise old Ayatollah Bahjah told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Focus on what you know. Act on what you know. Who doesn't know that Palestine is oppressed?
Oh.
Who doesn't know that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah? You know, he said it so with such emphasis that, look, why are people not tweeting and using social media to at least express their emphasis and support for Palestine? I mean, it's so obvious and clear.
Yeah.
Even though so many non-Muslims even understand this issue, right? So focus on what you know. Keep your niyyah pure.
Look at where the enemy is
attacking us. And the third thing is focus on what you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's all the time we have for the Youth Station. We leave you in the warm grace of God Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.